In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading from Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, 20 years or more, and it's all come down to this. To a single night. 20 years since Jacob has seen his brother Esau. 20 years since Esau swore to kill Jacob for his deception of tricking his father to give him his blessing. 20 years, and it's come down to this night. Alone in the darkness, thoughts racing through your mind, wrapped in worry and wondering what might happen in the morning when he comes to meet Esau and his 400 men. Tossing and turning on the banks of the Jabbok, and a man attacks him. Could it be Esau? Or could it be one of Esau's men? Jacob doesn't know. He only knows that he'd better hang on for dear life. Jacob fights. Jacob wrestles. Jacob holds on because if he doesn't, then it might mean his death. The man dislocates his hip with a touch. But Jacob won't let go. The sun starts to burn on the horizon, and the man says, "Let me go. The dawn is breaking." Jacob responds, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What's your name?" he says. "Yaakov, the deceiver, the cheat." "Your name will no longer be Yaakov, but Yisrael." "No longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and man and prevailed." And Jacob says, "Please tell me your name. Why are you asking me my name?" And that's it. Jacob is probably left with more questions than answers, but he knows one thing. His name's been changed. The promise of the blessing remains, and so he can go in the morning to meet Esau, knowing that wherever he lives or dies, in that moment, he belongs to God, to Yahweh. He has only the promise. But God never revokes his promises. 20 years and more. 20 years and more you've put into that marriage, and it's come down to this. 20 years or more, and you don't know if that marriage will last the night. 20 years and more, and you've invested into that job, and you don't know if there will even be a tomorrow. 20 years or more, and in her junior year of college, your child has stopped going to church. And maybe he even doesn't believe that there is a God at all anymore. 20 years or more, you've stood in line at the polling places, checked the ballots, stuck the political signs in your yard, and it's come down to this. This Congress, this president, this Democrat or Republican alike, bickering and fighting, and you don't know this America. You don't even recognize this America anymore, for that matter. You don't even know if it will be able to survive another day. 20 years and more, you've hid that damnable sin, knowing that if anyone ever knew what you had done, said, or thought, then your life would be over. And now that it's coming out to light, you know tomorrow will never be the same. 20 years and more, and you have been struggling with your sin. The words of the Apostle Paul are on your tongue, and you can almost bitterly taste them. "Why is it that I do not do the things that I want to do, but rather the things that I hate? Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" But the only answer you can seem to come up with is that there is no one and no hope. 20 years or more, you have held your loved one closely in your arms, celebrating and sharing in life with them. But now, as you wheel them into that operating room, check them into that nursing home or that wing of the Alzheimer's and dementia unit, as you take them off the ventilator or try to simply make them more comfortable, you don't know how much life they have left. 20 years and more, you have kissed the head of your child, your parent, your spouse, but now you stand at the head of their casket and kiss their forehead one last time. And you don't know how you will ever be able to get through this thick, dark, inky black shadow of death. For the night now seems to be upon you. And you lie there in the darkness, wrapped in worry and wondering what the morning will bring. In the sorrow of the world, plagued and tortured by sin and death, you lie in your bed, tossing and turning by yourself in another sleepless night. In that moment, to what will you cling? In the morning, you still have more questions than answers. But you know that one thing is certain. Your name has been changed. Jesus himself has inscribed his name on your head and on your heart by water and by word. He has called you by name and you are his. There's something about the morning. The people of Israel, stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army who had come to get their slaves back or kill them, are wrapped in worry and wondering whether God will continue standing between their enemies and them. But in the morning, there is dry land under their feet, and their enemies are dead. God and his promise are vindicated. Those disciples on the Friday afternoon in darkness of creation, standing on the hill of Golgotha, looking at the cross, watching our Lord suffering in agony and blood gushing from his wounds, watching him bow his head, breathe his last, and be buried in the tomb, wondered what kind of Messiah, what kind of Christ this might be. You don't think that they doubted that night? You don't think that they were wrapped in worry, wondering what would become of everything that they thought that they believed? But in the morning, very early on the dawning of the first day of the week, Jesus is not in the grave. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia! And God is vindicated. Everything Jesus ever said and did is proven true by the resurrection. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When there is only darkness and pain, worry and weakness, the promise remains. When there is nothing else, Jacob clings to the promise. So does Abraham when God tells him to sacrifice Isaac. So does Paul in prison. So do all the saints and all the martyrs. When there is a sword at your throat or a gun to your head, to what will you cling? The promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body and my blood given and shed for you. I will blot out your transgressions. I will remember your sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil, for I will be with you. And even though you die, yet shall you live. For I am the resurrection and the life. I will come to your grave and raise you from your grave, O my people. I will wipe every tear from your eye. There will be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. The old will have passed away, and behold, dear saints of the living God, the new will have come, because I make all things new. So it is this morning. Whatever else is happening around you, Jesus, to whom you cling in faith, turns his face of mercy toward you and says, I am your promise. I am your inheritance. I am your blessing. I am your life, and I do not revoke my promises. Here is my baptism. Here is my absolution for your sins. Here is my supper. Here is my death and my resurrection. Here it is for you. This morning, joy has come, and you can go out knowing that whatever happens, whether you live or die, you live or die in the Lord, under his blessing. Fight for your marriage. Under his blessing, he will provide, whether in this job or another. Under his blessing, do not give up praying for your son or daughter. Under his blessing, then no matter what happens in America, the earth and everything in it still belongs to the Lord, and he will continue to work for the good of those who love him. Under his blessing, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Under his blessing, the Lord will not leave you in times of sickness, in the midst of surgery, in an Alzheimer unit, or on your deathbed. Lo, he is with you always, even in the valley of the shadow of death, to the very end of the age. Under his blessing, death is not the end of the story. You shall not perish, but have eternal life. Under his blessing, in the words of the psalmist this day, lift up your eyes and look to the hills. Look to Mount Calvary, to the cross. Know where your help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth, from the one through whom all things were made, and without him nothing was made, from Jesus. Under his blessing, in the words of St. Luke's Gospel this day, in the face of evil, do not give up, do not lose heart, but pray continually. Your Lord hears you, and his promise remains. The steadfast, loyal love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. The darkness has an end. The dawn will break, and your God will come to you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, and you will see your Lord and Savior Jesus face to face. He has spoken. He will do it. To him be glory forever. Amen.